We've been talking Tiger Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Hello, football fans in Hamilton from coast to coast and around the world. This is the fifth quarter. It is powered by Eastgate Ford, and you are listening to 900 CHML. Well, 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 who would have thunk that this Ticats team would start the 2023 campaign 0-2, but we're right there after a 32-14 loss at the hands of the Argonauts in Toronto in a Father's Day clash at BMO Field. Number one, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and thank you for tuning in each and every time we're on the air following a Ticats game. It was not according to plan at all tonight for the Black and Gold. They're now, as I mentioned, 0-2, tied with Ottawa for last place in the CFL's East Division. Certainly not a place that this Ticats franchise wants to be in and thought they would be in at this point in time. But lo and behold, losses against Winnipeg and Toronto, the two teams that met in the Grey Cup. Hamilton Tiger Cats will try to right the ship this Friday night when they take on Montreal in their home opener at Tim Hortons Field. A lot of ways for you to tune in tonight and add your voice to the conversation, as for the next hour we're going to talk about this game, this team, and what happens next, because there are some important questions to give our opinions on, whether it's what we make of this team. Is this just a new team trying to gel together? How concerned are you with the play of Bo Levi Mitchell and tonight's injury to Bo Levi Mitchell? I think we're all hoping it's not one of those six gamers, because this team already has too many of those in the early part of this campaign. So here are the digits for you to log on and connect with us at AM900CHML, at Rick Samprin on Twitter. Got a gazillion tweets already that we'll get to throughout the show. Send me an email, rick@900chml.com, and plenty of you have already done so as well. Appreciate that. You can call in as well at *9900 on your cell phone, 905-645-3221. In fact, you can use that number as well, 905-645-3221, to send me a text with your thoughts on tonight's game. And we're all voting for our player of the game as well. Don't forget, while you're listening to the show, you can also subscribe to the Fifth Quarter Podcast. All right, let me begin by offering some thoughts on tonight's game. And I thought it was another subpar first half for this Ticats team. Last week in Winnipeg, not nearly good enough in the first half. Tonight in Toronto, just not there. There were some plays that they made. Hey, they got into the red zone. They were clicking on offense, but two horrible throws. Let's call a spade. Two horrible throws by Bo Levi Mitchell in the red zone. Could have been 14 points for the Tiger Cats. Instead, those two turnovers translated to 14 points for the Argonauts. Look at the final score, 32-14. This could have been a very different game if those two throws were not made, and the Ticats even got field goals out of one of those possessions. But the turnovers were done. Toronto capitalized. I also want to get your thoughts on Chad Kelly, because there was a lot of question marks going into the season about whether he could be the guy in Toronto. Of course, he had a couple of fantastic plays in the Grey Cup last year that led T.O. to the championship victory. And tonight was his second ever CFL start. Didn't really look like a guy who was making his second career start. I thought he played pretty good. He's not my player of the game, though, even though he scored three rushing touchdowns. My player of the game, James Butler from the Tiger Cats. I thought, given what happened last week with the fumbles we saw from him, and I know he scored a touchdown last week, but tonight I thought he was a little more polished. And he seemed to get into the playbook and know what was going on. I thought he had a couple of good runs tonight. 16 carries, 57 rushing yards, one rushing touchdown. He also led the team with seven catches for 57 yards. So James Butler gets my vote tonight. I'm going to guess there's going to be a number of different votes for player of the game tonight, and that's okay. Hey, that's the choice that you have to make. That's the vote that you have. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone. Let's start with the phones, as we usually do, and Ian is on the line. Ian, welcome to the fifth quarter. How are you?
It's another season.
Here we go, yeah.
I wrote a couple things down, and then I'll ask you asked a question. So, yeah, I was listening to Fantuz and Duke, and Duke even saying it's a hell of a game. Did I miss something tonight? Because the way both of them are talking, like there's positives, when we start talking like that, we know we're in a bad situation. I think all facets of our team, with the offense, defense, and special teams, they're not very good. This is not a very good team. The D-line can't stop the rush. A quarterback getting three touchdowns. Our O-line can't stop the defense coming in. Look at the pressure that, you know, our quarterbacks are under. Our secondary is terrible. Kolaris and Kelly look good because their secondary is horrible. Let's put them up against a good secondary and see how good Kelly is, because they're just tossing the ball up and they're catching. Where was their secondary half the time? They're nowhere around. We've had some bad, bad penalties. Like a receiver, if TSN was showing, they had that camera over above, and they showed some shots back behind Mitchell, and there is a sea of blue. Our receivers aren't getting open. There's something going on there, because when Bo's throwing the ball up, there should be someone there. There's something going on. Our receivers aren't that great. But at the end of it, we don't have a very good team. And would I push the panic button on the second week? I would consider it, because I can't see them replacing anybody in order to make this team good, because the whole team is in a bad situation.
So a couple things before you continue. I just want to jump in on two things. Number one, the panic button. What does that look like for you? I know you haven't pressed it yet, but what does that panic button look like?
I don't know. I mean, all we're doing now, we're trying to run the ball. The ball's not going far. We can't throw the ball and can't catch it. I don't know if it's coaching or what it is, but we were out-coached in the last two games. But how do you fix all three facets? Look at Reinhold when they went for the short kick. Look at the expression on his face explained everything. You know, how bad it is. They're just not gelling. There's something wrong with this team. Listen, I've been a Tiger fan all my life, season ticket holder, and I'll still be a season ticket holder, but this is not a good team at all.
So here's the other point that I wanted to make is, do you think it is a talent issue or an issue where there's a bunch of new players and they're just not on the same page? Because I'm leaning towards the latter as opposed to the former.
I agree with you 100% on that, but I mean, I'd rather have it happening now. In the CFL, it's not uncommon when teams do really well at the beginning. They, by mid-season, three quarters in, they start to tank. So, I mean, it's positive now. I'll give Schultz the player of the game, because I don't think anyone else did that great. But there's two questions I don't know if you can answer for me. Can you explain what the misconduct penalty is? This is new, and I'm trying to figure this out. And the other one is, and I noticed this tonight, the D-line has those quarterback wristbands on. Is that new for Hamilton?
So on the misconduct, I'm not sure if it was miscalled, because the misconduct is very much like an unsportsmanlike penalty. A face mask would be along the same lines. And I'm not sure if they've melded the two or they're interchangeable. I'm not 100% sure on the clarification.
Because it's being called a lot now.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. And I'm thinking, okay, it used to be an unsportsmanlike, and now they're calling them misconduct. So I'll do some homework on that for sure. And as far as the wristbands go, I've seen other teams do that, and they're starting to do this in the National Football League as well, where a defender, and it's usually the defensive captain, will have a wristband, not as extensive as the quarterback, but there are things on there that they can relay to other teammates. And maybe that's just an early season thing to get everybody on the same page. I'll be interested to see if they're continuing to use that in weeks 16, 17, 18, and into the playoffs.
Yep. Well, I mean, it is what it is, but like I said, it's not a very good team.
Yeah, not a good start. Ian, appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us here.
All right, cheers.
That is Ian with some pretty good comments in terms of just not good enough for him. And he wants to see more out of this team. And he thinks that, well, at least in his case, he's a little close to the panic button. Got an email from Dave who says, same old defense, same old coaching, same old discipline issues, same old results. Not good enough this year again. Dave from Stony Creek. Email from Ken. Ken says, hey, Rick, great to have you back again this year. Happy Father's Day to you and all the dads listening. It was a tough loss tonight. I have a question that I'm sure you or the fans of the fifth quarter would know. Not long ago, we traded Zach Collaros after his injury. This has been proven to be one of the worst decisions in Ticat history, with Zach going to Winnipeg and winning multiple Grey Cups. Who do we still have in Cats management that would have been a part of that decision to trade Zach that were also a part of the decision to pick up Bo Levi? It's still really early in the season and lots of time to improve, but this isn't looking good. Evans, Masoli, Manziel, Collaros. Are the Ticats the Leafs of the CFL? Uh-oh. Thanks for doing what you do, Rick. Oski, we read that email from Ken. He says his player of the game is Matt Schultz, who now has a couple of votes. As far as the who's still around in the front office when it comes to the trading of Zach Collaros, not many people are still around, to be honest. You know, this was a team that was headed up by June Jones. Kent Austin was still in the mix. You know, the one or two, I guess, common denominators would be the guys who've been here for, you know, nearly 20 years now, and that would be Bob Young and Scott Mitchell. I mean, but they're really not pulling the day-to-day strings. Yeah, they'll, you know, the front office will seek approval if they're going to make some of these big moves. But, yeah, it's more the boots on the ground, front office, GMs, coaches that are making these decisions. So, really, not many people are around. You know, Drew Allemang is, you know, the director, an assistant GM now, but the director of Canadian scouting at the time. So he would not have been, you know, the guy to say, all right, you know, we're making this move. Maybe would have nodded his head in a meeting, but not quite the forerunner to make this kind of change. We got some callers on the line that we'll get to after the break. Corey and Peter, hang on. We'll get to you next. We've got some tweets, some emails. You can add your thoughts on the text line as well here on the fifth quarter, 905-645-3221. And we'll discuss tonight's 32-14 loss at the hands of the Toronto Argonauts when the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford, continues on 900 CHML.
It's where Ticats fans come together. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Chad Kelly runs to his left, and it's a big first half for Chad Kelly, his third touchdown. That puts them up 21-6, and they've got a convert coming.
A hat-trick of TDs for Chad Kelly as the Toronto Argonauts walk over the Hamilton Tiger Cats tonight, 32-14. Hamilton 0-2. That was Toronto's first game of the season after they enjoyed the bye week in week one. Hamilton will try to get things back on track, or at least on track, when they take on the Alouettes at home this Friday night. It is the season opening game at the Donut Box. After the game, fans on the field and a drone show post-game. Let's hope it's a celebratory drone show at Tim Hortons Field. Pre-game show on Friday night here on CHML begins at 6:30, and kickoff is at 7:30. We'll be on the air for the fifth quarter in and around 11 p.m. And hopefully we're talking about the first win of the season for Hamilton. Fifth quarter is powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML. To get in on the fun and talk about tonight's game and this team, call us at 905-645-3221, *9900. On your cell phone. You can also text me at 905-645-3221. Send me an email, rick@900chml.com. On Twitter, use the hashtag #fifthquarter, @RickZamprin, @AM900CHML. And we're also broadcasting live on CHML's Facebook page as well, where Bruce says, should have never gotten rid of Evans. How's that working out for them now? If Bo was an asset, he still would be in Calgary. Defense never showed. Offense never got off the bus. Hashtag fifth quarter morning comes early for you. Thanks for hosting the best CFL show. Bruce, thank you very much. Do you want to get to a couple of tweets? Alan says, underwhelming. Hashtag fifth quarter. Bill, Rick, been saying it for years, but O.C. Condell is part of the problem. Called the amazing screen pass early that went for big yards, but otherwise called a terrible game. Bo threw two bad picks, but if he had faith in the game plan, maybe he wouldn't make such bad decisions. And Ticat Steve says, this team was completely non-competitive this evening, a disturbing trend for over a season now. Don't forget to vote for your player of the game as well. I voted for James Butler. We have a couple votes in for Matthew Schultz as well. Back to the phones we go at 905-645-3221. Corey has been waiting patiently on the line. Corey, good evening.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
Okay. It's a disappointing end to a weekend. Sunday night, isn't the best.
I agree wholeheartedly. This was a lackluster affair for the black and gold.
So it was January when we signed Bo Levi, and I've said it since day one. If he doesn't come in and play well, we're in trouble. If a franchise, prestigious, perennial playoff, Grey Cup champion like Calgary moves on from a guy like Bo Levi, there's a reason for it. And we were excited to get him. And I haven't been excited. And now we're two games in, and his two-game stats are barely even one good game. Never mind the interceptions, the turnovers, the poor decisions, the overthrows, the underthrows, the Tommy Condell play calling, whatever you want to call it. When you ask these players to perform and they don't perform what they're paid to do, that's their job, we're not looking very good at all.
I can't disagree with you. And, you know, I was on a podcast last week. It's called the Football North Podcast. And one of the guests on that show said that he has come to realize, and this is a guy who has covered Bo Levi Mitchell for 10-plus years in Calgary, works out of Calgary, that his assessment of Bo Levi now is he's a game manager. He's not a game breaker anymore, but a game manager. In the two games we've seen him in a Ticats uniform, he's not managing the game well either, and he's certainly not a game breaker. So I need to see more before I start waving the Bo Levi Mitchell flag in terms of this guy can be the guy to lead us to the promised land. We haven't seen it yet, and I don't think anyone can say that they've seen that.
Absolutely agree. And like when you're talking about a game manager, are we talking about like a manager of like a $500 million, the Business Bureau company, or are we talking about Dairy Queen manager? Because we got a Dairy Queen manager right now. He's brutal. And I hate to say it, but like when it comes down to it, these guys, and like you're saying, James Butler had a good game. Tim White, you target him, he gets popped, doesn't do much. Our playmakers aren't doing much. They aren't helping. You got Figueroa out there. He doesn't even look like he has a left leg. Van Zyl's out. Revenberg and Beard are beasts in the middle. But two out of five guys doesn't make an offensive line. Like you're talking about a team that's now 0-2. I know it's early, all these things. But when it comes down to it, we've been here before. We're always here. We never start strong. And I don't want to say like, oh, it's just another year, or oh, I'm sick of seeing these guys not perform. I don't know what it is, but I just want to see something, do something. I always say from the stands, do something. Somebody perform. Just show me something.
Yeah, it didn't happen tonight, that's for sure. Who is your player of the game tonight?
Nobody on the field. Let's give a shout out to the fathers today. Happy Father's Day.
All right, good call. Corey, appreciate the call. Thanks for the time, and enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Rick.
At least what's left of it. Let's just put fathers for player of the game. Who knows? We might just get a ton of people agreeing with Corey on that player of the game vote. A tweet from Richard, who says, well, at least the punter Bailey Flint is good. Duke producing, love the great catches by Godwin and Turnowski, but two other QBs were better than Mitchell by a long shot tonight. We're now 0-2 to start the season. Schiltz should be our starter against Montreal Friday. I think that if healthy, Bo Levi is going to be the starter. Because there's no doubt about it. The Ticats are not pleased with the 0-2 start. Not pleased with basically getting manhandled by Winnipeg. And I mean, who's not these days? They did the same thing to Saskatchewan. But underperforming to a pretty great degree, especially in the second half. Or at least that third quarter. This Ticats team cannot be happy with their 0-2 start. But if he is healthy, this team is also playing the long game. And who, at the end of the day, over 18 games, gives this team a better shot to win? You would like to think it's Bo Levi. Hey, they're paying this guy $500,000 to be that guy through two games. You know, you can make a case that Matt Schiltz has been the better quarterback in a very small sample size this year. We saw what he can do last year. But this year, he's been good. I mean, tonight, he was on point when he came in. And his end of game stats are pretty impressive. 13 of 14 for 115 yards. And a touchdown. Bo Levi, 16 of 24, 158 yards, two interceptions when the team was in the red zone. I mean, that really hurts. And not only that, but Toronto goes on to score 14 points off those two turnovers. Chad Kelly, by the way, 14 of 23, 208 passing yards, five carries, 28 yards rushing, three touchdowns on the ground. Not spectacular numbers passing, but, you know, he had a couple of nice throws tonight, a couple of nice deep throws tonight. But he didn't, you know, wow me in terms of, okay, this is the next big thing. You know, a decent performance. Did more than enough to win, that is for sure. Toronto fans, they should be happy with their quarterback's performance tonight. I would be if I was an Argos fan. That's not the case. 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your smartphone. Use the hashtag fifth quarter if you're sending us a tweet, at Rick Samprin, at AM900CHML. On email, Rick at 900CHML.com. We've got a flood of email to get to, so I might as well get to it. This one from Steve. Steve writes, greetings and Oski Wee Wee salutations to Ticats fans everywhere. What we saw tonight was a lackluster performance by the Ticats on both sides of the ball. D-line is porous, and the offense is typical Tommy Condell predictable. Run on first down for 3 yards, then throw on second down. Why do they throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage on second and long? Player of the game is any Ticat fan that watched it until the end. Painful. Optimistic for next week, but this one was brutal. Steve from Niagara Falls. So I'll just put this down to the Father's Day / fans. As two votes, Steve makes it a double. Matt Schultz has a couple of votes as well. Email from Randy. Oh, Randy's got a lot to say here, so bear with me. Randy writes, good evening, Rick. Happy Father's Day to you. This was an embarrassing and inept loss by the Tiger Cats. Just putrid. They simply did not look strong and disciplined on the field. Another Diallo penalty, this time a face mask. Mason Bennett, a bad penalty also. With only two games in, Bo Levi has been overthrowing and looks very rusty. Is Bo Levi the answer? My prediction, not. I would have liked to see Schultz come in earlier at quarterback in the fourth quarter before the Mitchell injury. Still, the offensive line must do better. Things have to come together fast. The defense allowed too much. A home game is on the horizon. Great TD catch by Tarnowski and Schultz pass for two-point conversion. The frustration was observed in the way Tim White was angry with Tyler Tarnowski. Now, I want to get to that in a second. But Randy goes on to write, although I understand it was the missed block, you can't display this on the field. I did enjoy the one-handed grab by Terry Godwin. At 0-2, it'll be a long season if the Cats don't correct those problems. We don't want another 0-8 as in previous years. As far as Mitchell's POSS, possession, pass, quad injury is a bad one. I have had this. It may never be totally healed. 3 years now for me. Now, that's speculation. It could be groin, could be quad, could be something else. It's something with the leg. And Coach O said, you know, lower body injury. So it's something down there. Randy goes on to say, it is horrendously awful to see the Argos win. As far as both teams go, I would cheer for the Memphis Showboats of the USFL who could sink the Argos. Too much emphasis has been put on Bo after the signing. With the injury, it's time for Matthew Schultz to step up. I don't want to say it, but my player of the game is Chad Kelly. He learned from a legend. Honorable mention to Tyler Tarnowski, Aleandre Gallimore, and Duke Williams. At least there was a better referee. Have a great week, Rick. Randy in Oakville. So a couple things. Yeah, number one, Tom Lacey, I think, did a pretty good job tonight. But number two, the Tim White and Tyler Tarnowski, I don't know what you want to call it, disagreement. Let's just call it that. At the end of the day, I know and I respect what Tim White is trying to do. The message, at least, that he's trying to get across. That, hey, listen, you can't miss a block like that because you left me exposed and I got hammered. So please don't do that again. It was the way he did it on the field that rubbed me the wrong way. You can't do that to a teammate. I know you're trying to hold each other accountable, and that is good. But it's the way you do that. So, you know, physically going after a teammate when the game is still very much there for the taking. It wasn't like, you know, late fourth quarter and you're down by, you know, 16, 17 points. Tim White is got to be better than that. And he will be. And he is. I think it was a moment of frustration as far as he's concerned. All right, let's take another quick break. When we come back, some of your calls at 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your cell phone. Email rick at 900chml.com. On Twitter, use the hashtag fifth quarter, at Rick Zamprin, at AM900CHML are the two handles. We're on CHML's Facebook page. Got a lot of messages to get to on that. And you can also text me at 905-645-3221. Fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford continues on 900CHML.
We're talking Ticats football. This is the fifth quarter powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
Handoff goes to James Butler, gets down to the five, breaks a tackle, touchdown, Tiger Cats! James Butler, his second in as many games, and the Tiger Cats are right there in the second quarter.
RJ Broadhead and Luke Tasker on the Ticats Audio Network and here on 900CHML as we welcome you back to the fifth quarter. It is brought to you by Eastgate Ford, and you are listening to 900CHML. Toronto 32, Hamilton 14 tonight. The Ticats now 0-2. That was the Argos' first game of the season as they had week one off here in the Canadian Football League. And the Ticats, with the winless start after 2 weeks, tied with Ottawa for last in the Canadian Football League. But they do have an opportunity to get win number one this coming Friday. It's Tiger Cats in Alouettes, Tim Hortons Field. It's Hamilton's home opener. Pregame show here on CHML begins at 6:30. Kickoff is at 7:30, the fifth quarter, as always. We'll follow 30 minutes after the final whistle. To comment on tonight's game, to offer your vote for player of the game, give me a call at 905-645-3221. You can also use that line to send me a text, 905-645-3221. On your cell phone, star 9900. Send me an email, rick at 900chml.com. On Twitter, use the hashtag fifth quarter, at Rick Zamprin, or at AM900CHML. We're also on CHML's Facebook page as well. We'll be reading some comments on there as well. And let's go to the email first and foremost, because we have a number of email to get to after tonight's game. This one from Anthony. Hello, Rick. Well, it was really, I was really hoping the team would have a bit more to show for week two. Two badly timed interceptions tonight by Bo, and it took the wind out of our sails in the first half. Offense looked frustrated on the field with Bo. I also think the play calls were extremely boring and very predictable. Remind you, at all of last year yet. In my opinion, we need to let the receivers go get the ball more. Take a couple more shots deep and let our star receivers shine, not run the ball every single first down we get. Also, where was White tonight? Bo seemed like he couldn't find him, but Schiltz did pretty easily, and he found multiple receivers pretty easily as well. Here's hoping we figure out something different for next game. Starting 0-3 isn't an option. Cheers, Anthony. 0-3, not only is that not an option, that is not allowed. I will not allow it. On CHML's Facebook page, Tony writes, why do you think Calgary let Bo go? Great question, Tony. That certainly would be one for John Huffnagel and Dave Dickinson, but I'll answer on their behalf. And the simple fact to me is, number one, Bo had been suffering a number of injuries for a number of years in Calgary. Jake Mayer was coming on when he was filling in for Bo Levine, looked pretty good. He is much younger than Bo. Bo's on the wrong side of 30. Jake is not. And, you know, let's take the salary considerations into account, too. Bo is getting paid more than even Jake Mayer is making now. So, you know, you add all those kind of factors in, I think Calgary thought it was time to turn the page in the Bo Levi Mitchell era. And that era in Hamilton has not started out as well as it did start out in Calgary. But again, two games does not make an era, that is for sure. Peter on CHML's Facebook page, we are so bad. Bo can't throw, can't run, the O-line can't block, the secondary is laughable. Bo is done. Same old Tommy Condell junk plays. Every quarterback we have had for 5 years has interception problems. It has to be Condell plays. You can go on to CHML's Facebook page and comment on tonight's game, on this team, vote for your player of the game as well. So what's happening in the Twitterverse tonight? RH says, I'm out on Coach O. Undisciplined, not prepared. 10 first half points in two games. Who is to blame when the team doesn't gel? Not to mention his greatest crime, retaining Tommy Condell, player of the game Godwin, for the Sweet Mitts. Terry Godwin had an amazing catch tonight. For those who didn't see it, this is one you will definitely want to go onto YouTube, or the CFL, I'm sure, is going to highlight it, because it was one of those just grab it out of the air when no one thought he was going to make that reception. Richard, right, oh, actually, I read Richard's tweet. Let's go down the list to Ken, who also is commenting on Godwin's catch. What a great catch. Did White smack... Oh, this was the Tyler Tarnowski touchdown. What a great catch. Did White smack him in the head again after that? And no, I don't think he did. Don't think he did. Luke says, it's going to be an interesting week. The whole playbook needs a change. Now, you know, that's a discussion item. Because, yes, number one, yes, it's going to be an interesting week because we don't know the status of Bo Levi. If it is any sort of groin injury or quad injury that Randy from Oakville had brought up earlier in the show, that either of those, my guess is it's going to be hard-pressed for him to play and or play as effectively as he wants to or needs to for this team to win. So if he's not 100%, I think Matt Schiltz is the guy. It's going to create a lot of storylines and a lot of, you know, oxygen for the maybe Schiltz is the quarterback to lead this team full stop. But the playbook thing, and here's where we can't get we can't put the cart before the horse, because there is a coaching staff who has a coaching philosophy and an offensive and a defensive and a special teams philosophy. And two games in, I'm not sure you want to change that philosophy unless you're going to change the coordinator. Because anyone who's coming in and replacing someone, yes, is going to have their own way of doing things. Playbook, terminology, the whole kit and caboodle. Do you want to do that 2 weeks in? I think a lot of people are probably screaming at the radio thinking, yeah, this is what we're asking. This is what we're calling for. We've seen enough of the Tommy Condell offensive era. And hey, I hear your pleas. I hear your pleas. But what is going to change if you bring in a Scott Milanovich who's already on the team? Is his coaching philosophy going to instantly, like, you know, the snap of the fingers, change the direction of this team? I'm not 100% confident of that. I think long term, yes, that would be a definite change, for better or for worse. Long term, I think you have to let this offense breathe with some of the new commodities that you have on the field. Now, the question is, if things don't go well in the win and loss column, how long do you let that breathe? Because if the losses are piling up and you're still waiting for the team to gel, there is a hard line somewhere in the season. Again, if things aren't going right when it comes to wins and losses, because that is ultimately what pro sports is all about, there's got to be a line somewhere in the schedule, in the sand, for this team to say, all right, it's not working, we got to do something else. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone to comment on tonight's 32-14 loss by the Ticats at the hands of those hated defending champions celebrating again tonight, Argonauts. At Rick Samprin, at AM900CHML on Twitter, on email, rick@900CHML.com, on CHML's Facebook page. Let's go back to that, and let's see what people are talking about here on the Facebook page. Alex says, incoming the run, Bo Levi out-of-town calls just after 2 weeks. Swag Kelly is here, and he's the East player of the game. Argos, hopefully you get to see that Grey Cup ring, Rick. Well, Alex, maybe one day. Maybe one day. 1999 is a long time ago, and I'll say the rings have gotten much larger since 1999. Lance simply says, Bo is a bust. Stuart on CHML's Facebook page says, it's a shame this Tiger Cat team has 8 championships, a rich history and tradition. This cannot be tolerated. Better get it straightened out very quickly. Let's read one more on CHML's Facebook page. It's from Brad, who says, maybe it's time to bring Scott Milanovich back to the sidelines. Oh, just doesn't seem to have any emotion on the sidelines anymore. As far as the playbook goes, I think I have the same one on the bookshelf collecting dust. Condell needs to work on some new material for the current QB instead of relying on the old books. The rest of the league knows which page of the book we're using by now. Player of the game, Terry Godwin II. Great catch. In terms of the playbook, and I want to harp on this because we're hearing a lot of playbook commentary. And why shouldn't we with, you know, the number of points this team is scoring in a couple of weeks? You know, last week, you score 30-plus, you figure, you have a good shot to win. Problem is, you're playing Winnipeg, which is scoring 40-plus these days. But playbook-wise, you'll remember the offseason. I'm sure you do, when Bo Levi Mitchell, newly signed, freshly minted Ticats quarterback, says something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing here, because this is a few months ago, obviously in January, and he's saying that Tommy and I want to restore some of the old school CFL plays in which we're going to add some excitement to our offensive repertoire. And we haven't seen that yet. We haven't really seen many glimpses of that yet. What does this old school offensive playbook look like? What are we bringing back? And whether it's in training camp or in practice or these two games, even the two preseason games, where have the exciting old school plays been? I haven't seen any. If you've seen any, let me know. But nothing has really come to mind that thought, oh, I remember that back in the day. Well, no, nothing really has, you know, sparked my memory of an old school kind of football play. If you have the answer, hey, send me an email, rick@900chml.com. Nothing has really kind of piqued my mind to say, wow, that I remember when. Bruce says, should have never gotten rid of Evans. If Bo was an asset, he would still be in Calgary. Defense never showed. Offense never got off the bus. Hashtag fifth quarter. I wonder how the train ride or bus ride or drive home is going for the Ticats players, coaching staff. Probably not very good. Probably a quiet bus ride, that is for sure. And I'm sure the fans are not so quiet. They're trying to solve what ails this team. David on Twitter says, how much of his money is guaranteed? Talking about Bo Levi Mitchell's contract, I think most fans would say too much at this point. Jim on Twitter, @RickSamprin, using the hashtag fifth quarter. Thank you, Jim. Bah humbug, we're not good enough to gift interceptions in the end zone and extend drives with penalties on three occasions. All correctable, but we brought in Bo to clean up these mistakes. At least Schiltz looked good. Butler for player of the game. Jim, thanks for being on the same wavelength with me on Mr. Butler. I thought I had a pretty good game tonight. Let's rehash some of the stats before we go into our final break here. Bo Levi Mitchell, 16 of 24, 158 passing yards, 2 interceptions. Matt Schiltz, 13 of 14, 115 yards, 1 touchdown. James Butler, 16 carries, 57 yards, 1 TD. He also had a team-high 7 receptions for 57 yards. Duke Williams, 6 catches for 102. Tim White, 5 for 41. Godwin had 4 for 28. Turnowski, 4 for 19 and a TD. And Keandre Smith had 3 receptions for 26 yards. Defensively, Tunde Adeleke led all tacklers in the Ticats with 6 defensive tackles at a special teams takedown as well. Richard Leonard with 5, as did Chris Edwards, who also had 5, plus a sack as well. The only sack of the game for the Ticats. Toronto had a couple of sacks. Penalty-wise as well, Hamilton last week, what do they have, 14 penalties for 121 yards? Tonight basically cut both of those stats in half. 7 penalties, 51 yards. Toronto was penalized 9 times for 74 yards. One more break, one more segment to go here on the fifth quarter. It is brought to you by Eastgate Ford, and you're listening to 900 CHML.
Welcoming Ticats fans, young and old, you're listening to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
He's got to hurry. Empty backfield, and look to his left, nobody open. So rolls to his right, throws to the corner of the end zone. It is caught. It's a touchdown. Tyler Turnowski.
That was an amazing catch. Great throw by Schiltz. An even better catch by Tyler Turnowski. One of 2 touchdowns that the Tiger Cats scored tonight, but in a losing effort as they fall 32-14 against the Argonauts in Toronto at a Father's Day clash at BMO Field, in which Hamilton is now 0-2 as they get set to host the Montreal Alouettes this Friday night at Tim Hortons Field. Our pregame show on CHML will begin at 6:30. Kickoff is at 7:30. A drone show after the game to thrill the fans. Hopefully, many of the fans will be thrilled beyond belief during the game, in which the Ticats come out with their first couple points of the season. But we shall see. Plenty of ways for you to offer your input on tonight's game. Vote for your player of the game. Use the hashtag fifth quarter on Twitter at AM900CHML, at Rick Samprin. Send me a text at 905-645-3221. You can also use that number to give me a call here on the fifth quarter and on your cell phone at *9900. CHML's Facebook page is also a good landing spot for you to comment on tonight's game. Let's get to one more Facebook message before I get to the email and some of the tweets that are coming in as well. Scott writes, we thought Kundell would have been let go last year. I remember similar calls around Labor Day 2022. And Ian says, was Simone playing tonight? And Rick, while you are on commercial, was Simone playing tonight? Okay, same question. So yes, he was playing tonight. Simone Lawrence, let's get to his stats. He had one defensive tackle tonight. And I thought that he could have done a lot more, given what Toronto was trying to do, what they ultimately did do, especially running the football. AJ Alouette is, you know, if you happen to watch or happen to listen to the pregame show, Coach Sal, John Salavanis, really offered a unique perspective, and I think a bang-on one, about AJ Alouette. It's like tackling a bag of hammers. It's not easy. He is a monster. He's physical. He's fast. He's tough. He's elusive. He's everything that you want in a running back. 13 carries for 60 yards for Alette tonight in a winning cause. Okay, back to the email we go. Alan has a lengthy email. Hey, Rick, it's Alan from St. Catharines. I'm going to get straight to the point. There are so many issues going on. We need to fix it or it's going to be a long season. First one, offensive line is not giving Bo time. I thought last week it was because of Winnipeg's elite defense, but tonight they're doing the same thing. They weren't giving him a lot of time to look down the field. Even when Matt Schultz was in, he didn't have a lot of time to throw. Secondly, are the receivers not being where they should be, or is Bo Levi Mitchell overthrowing the ball, allowing him to be intercepted? Needs to make better decisions. Tyler Tarnowski on one play was 30 yards downfield and no Argo was with him. Mitchell didn't see him. Bo is forcing it downfield at times when he shouldn't be, and there are guys wide open within 10 yards to throw to. We don't need a long bomb. We only need 10 yards for first down. Also, what's with the stupid penalties? Last week, Diallo lost his cool and Jagerrod had to calm him down. This game, he had a nice tackle but grabbed the quarterback's face mask, resulting in a penalty for us. We need to be more disciplined. What about Bennett throwing the Argo player on the ground after the whistle? Coaches need to address this. Maybe don't allow a player to play the next game and someone on the practice roster plays instead. How about those DBs? They are not staying with the Toronto receivers. We're chasing them after the wide open catches by Toronto. Stay with your man. Can we get Jamal Roll out of retirement? I'm concerned. What about Brandon Banks? We are going to honor him next week at our home game, and he's been tweeting he misses Tigertown. I feel he still has life in him, and honestly, besides Tim White, Duke Williams, Terry Godwin, and Condre Smith, I would love to see a few plays with Banks in it. A little slapback catches and things like that. I'm sure he would fight for the ball, too. Heck, his 150-pound frame would block better than Tarnowski did for White. Tim White was so frustrated with Tarnowski tonight. I see a lot of frustration on this team. Alan goes on to say, the worst of all is that this fact is that Bo Levi Mitchell could be out for a bit. We don't know the seriousness of this injury. He was bumped a bit and fell down holding the inside of his thigh. Wasn't even that big of a hit. Luckily, Matthew Schultz is a good, reliable quarterback, and I know he hasn't warmed up tonight for this game, but I did like what I saw from him in the marching down the field. We might need to count on him for the home opener and some games after that. I know some people might write this team off, but I'm not there. We definitely have some work to do, though. Player of the game, Chad Kelly. I will give it to him. Honorable mention, Terry Godwin for that outstanding catch. Wow, we need stuff like that from our receivers more. By the way, Rick, your prediction is 1-1 now. We predicted this was a win, but Argo's won. I'm keeping track, LOL. Thank you for keeping track, Alan, because I am not, to be honest. And throughout the season, I will get a lot of things wrong, let me tell you. Email from Wayne. This is Rick. Here are my brief thoughts on this game. First, poor fan support once again by Toronto for the Argos. They had 15,967 fans at BMO tonight. Second, my fears that Mitchell was an overpaid retread whose best days are far behind him seem to be coming true. Also, we had a tremendous running back last year in Wes Hills, who leads the USFL in this season in rushing. We miss him on offense. How did the Ticats ever let him get away? Do you know? Thanks for your work on the fifth quarter. Well, Wes Hills basically wanted to play closer to home and for a little bit more money. So not much the Ticats could do in that regard. This one from Tom in Guelph. He says, hi, Rick. Two dumb interceptions by Mitchell in the first half reminded me of Evans last year. With the two or three dumb penalties extending Toronto drives added to the interceptions, it was 22-6 at halftime. It could have been a lot different. Too early to give up on Bo, but Schiltz looks ready to take over if he doesn't improve. Cheers, Tom from Guelph. This is Stephen in Penticton. Greetings, Rick. Well, another unpretty loss. I am not rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic yet, but our coaches seem a bit lost to me. Coach O walks around on the sidelines like a deer in the headlights. Condell, again this year, no halftime adjustments. Washington, not enough pressure packs from our defense. The coaches better take a look in the mirror. A long one. Player of the game, no one. Steven in BC. And I believe that is all the email sent in, yes, on the fifth quarter here on 900 CHML, powered by Eastgate Ford. We do have a couple of texts to get to. This one is from Rich. And Rich writes, hi, Rick, happy Father's Day. I don't want to say it is panic time like an earlier caller, but the last two games have not been close and starting to feel concerned. I was so optimistic with Bo Levi coming to town, but he has looked like a below average QB. This Friday game is going to be huge as we see how Bo Levi does. I'll reserve judgment after our home opener. Rich from Dundas. Well said. I think we're all intrigued to see how he does this Friday, if in fact he is healthy enough to be on the field, and knock on wood, he is. Got a text. I'm not sure who this is, so I'll just say texter. So texter says, need to fix the game management, tried to make Bo a hero too often. Secondary needs some practice. Other than that, I'm not too concerned. Let it come natural. Honorable or horrible penalties need some discipline. With the Ticats' outlook for the season, onwards to Toronto. Bo has played rough, but still not the end of the world for me. He says, Brandon here. This is halfway through the text. Immature penalties have to go. Coach Condell switched it up at least from pass, punt to run, pass, punt. Secondary could tighten things up. Overall, ugly performance. But relax, there's 16 games to go. Go, Cats, go. And there is, yes, 16 games to go. Thankfully, the season is nowhere near over. A few more consecutive losses, and we might, change our mind. But right now, yes, nowhere near over for the Hamilton Tiger Cats as they get set to take on Montreal this Friday. Time for some fifth quarter awards to be handed out. Let's start with the big play of the game. Well, I think we can all agree the big play of the game was Tyler Chernowski's superb touchdown catch. I know Terry Godwin had a great one-hander, but Chernowski scores a touchdown on his. Keeping the tippy toes inbounds will give him the big play of the game here on the fifth quarter. The player of the game. All right, so there's not one winner of this. There are multiple who are tied. James Butler, Matthew Schiltz, Father's Day fans and fans, Chad Kelly, Terry Godwin. Basically, everyone that you voted for tonight is our players of the game tonight. And one more award to give out here on the fifth quarter. Is the fifth quarter fan of the night. We're going to hand this out to all the fathers out there tonight because it is Father's Day, Father's Day edition here, the fifth quarter. Happy Father's Day to one and all. Hey, there's an exciting contest that is Ticats related. You can hear all about it starting tomorrow morning on Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML. I'll be waking you up tomorrow and each and every day at 5:30 up until 9, so tune in then. Final score, 32-14 in favor of Toronto. Our next game is Friday when the Ticats take on Montreal. Join us for the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate 4 on 900 CHML.
The Fifth Quarter podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.